There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 799, August 5th, 2019. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say welcome to the world of winning and taking pole position. A century of success at the Hungaroring. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, well, Toto, Foxes, the Horner, Renault should leave the sport. LCH is hurrying up to grab all the records before Max catches his stride. And we've got special report from Hungary from Louis Janssen. And I just want to remind all our listeners that we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Anyone who donates $100 or more will receive the F1 Weekly Coffee Cup of the Century. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you for asking. Before we get into nitty-gritty details of the weekend, I would like to give a shout-out to Mr. Alex Majors. He wrote to me that he has been listening to F1 Weekly for a long time. So many thanks for that. We always appreciate hearing from listeners and their support. And also many thanks to Mr. Louis Janssen. He and his wife, Miss Didi, they were at Budapest, Hungaroring. It was good to get some reports from him, and we will play his audio file that he sent to us a little bit later. So thanks to everybody listening to F1 Weekly around the world. How is you, Mr. Rogers?
I'm okay, Nas. So exciting, yet so not exciting. But what can you do? I'm really disappointed with Renault. I think they should leave the sport, and maybe we could get Yamaha or Hyundai or Kia to come in.
Yes, sir. Mercedes finally pulls a Red Bull on Red Bull. Quick thinking by the team and fast driving by your favorite driver gives Lewis win number 81. You remember that Nigerian prince who came and sponsored Arrows? He had this T-minus thing going on?
Not sure, Nas.
You don't remember this anyway. So I have this T-minus thing going on. So Lewis is now a T-minus 10, 10 short of Michael Schumacher's all-time record of 91. And I think if Max does not join Mercedes next year, which I don't think is happening, there is a good chance, high probability, that we will see Lewis match Schumi's number and also maybe surpass his number next season. So amazing times we are in. Did you enjoy the race, sir, at the Hungaroring?
I did enjoy the race. I loved the start. I loved the qualifying. I was so happy for Max finally getting the pole position, monsieur, which gave him more motivation to become the machismo that everybody's hoping he will be as long as Lewis Hamilton is at Mercedes, and he's not at Mercedes. That will be hard to do, but at least Honda is making the effort.
Oh yes, that GP2 engine has come a long way. You know, Hungaroring is called a Mickey Mouse track, as there is no Eau Rouge or Parabolica here, but the track has provided some very exciting moments in motorsports history. Hungarian Grand Prix was the first Formula One race behind the Iron Curtain, thanks to Mr. Bernie Ecclestone and his quest for destination cities. And the first race was, of course, in 1986. Now, in 2003, at Hungaroring, El Machismo on expanding Michelin tires scored his maiden Grand Prix win. and in 2007, physio of the same driver got involved in the release of car in qualifying, which ultimately cost the driver his third championship, which never came back, Mr. Rogers. I'm so sorry. In 2008, those famous words, "Welcome to the world of winning," were said by Mr. Ron Dennis to his number two, who was running in number two, surprise, surprise, but thanks to a kablamo on Felipe Massa's Ferrari, became the 100th different Grand Prix winner in Formula One history, and that, of course, was Mr. Heikki Kovalainen. Now, on Saturday, we see the long-awaited first pole position for Max Verstappen, and he becomes the 100th different pole winner in Formula One history, so quite a century of winning in pole position. Now, shall we talk a little bit about Colli?
Indeed we should, Nas. Keep up the good work.
What did you like in Colli?
I liked nothing about Colli. Renault are sloppy and smelly.
And there is no Nando.
Por favor. ¿Dónde es el más macho del mundo?
Yeah, I saw a news item once again that they were quoting Toto Wolff and Dr. Marco saying, no vacancy aquí. So he ain't coming back to a top team, that's for sure.
I know that, Nas. Thanks for rubbing it in.
Okay. Colli, like Max said, his first pole position was just a matter of time. It was Honda's first pole position in Formula One since JB at the 2006 Australian Grand Prix. It is pretty obvious the big advantage Mercedes had in the days of Lewis and Nico is no longer there. They still have the best overall package, plus a regular serving of spaghetti with red marinara sauce has given Lewis Hamilton a clear advantage in taking his sixth championship this year. But we still have a lot of races to go, and it's not over till Roseanne Barr sings God Save the Queen, and what a rendition that would be. Bottas was able to get on the front row ahead of Lewis, but there is increased speculation that he may not be teammate to LCH next season. Lewis, third on the grid, was only the third time this season he was not on the front row. I have to ask you, Bottas on front row, did you think he was going to finish ahead of Lewis in the race?
Not even once.
Same here, sad but true. Charles Leclerc qualified fourth. This was the fifth consecutive qualifying session where he outpaced his illustrious Ferrari teammate Sebastian Vettel. Since misery loves company, sharing row three with Seb was Pierre Gasly in his Red Bull. Now the difference between him and Max was amazing, 0.8 seconds slower than Max, and that is not very good. Row 4 was an all-McLaren affair with Lando Norris ahead of Carlos Sainz Jr. So good to see McLaren coming back. I'm happy for them. And Row 5 was the F1's AARP contingent. Romain Grosjean for Haas F1 and Kimi Raikkonen for Sauber Alfa Romeo. Now, Daniel Ricciardo, the number one driver at your favorite team, Renault, was out in Q1. His first Q1 elimination since the British Grand Prix in 2017. And I have to say to you that I do share your concern about Renault staying in Formula One. I mean, look at the way they're going.
I think their days are numbered, Nas. With the financial situation going on, the Goshen issue, the Nissan issue, I just don't see why they would want to stay in.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if the team is sold back to Gerard Lopez and Eric Lux and the genie out of the bottle situation. Jenny Capital, remember them?
One of my favorites.
Yeah, you know, the deal Renault had with them is they were going to pay them like $10 million each year for quite a few years. So we'll see how it works out. Any other thoughts in qualifying, sir, before we move on to the race?
No thoughts, but I am concerned about Renault. I think it's very, very serious. And I think they're signed to Formula One till 2021. After that, they're gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, the team will have a new name. That's the one good saving grace. And Chase Carey is trying. You know, what would be very nice if they can. What I would love to see, Mr. Rogers, I would love to see Penske come back in Formula One. And there are also some mutterings, you know, chatter on the web, that Andretti name may come back also. And if they can go on the same program as the Haas F1 program, it'll be fantastic to see Penske or Andretti name back in Formula One. What say you?
Let me wake you up after a nice long sleep, Nas, because you're definitely in a dream state.
Well, dreams are good. You know, that's what they say at Honda, the power of dreams. You can come out of a GP2 nightmare into Formula One. But anyway, tell me, what was your take on the race, the start especially, and the hustling and muscling between the Mercedes teammates?
Well, obviously, everybody was looking at Max Verstappen on pole. Will he have a crappy start like he did in Germany? Or will he recover and show a Fernando-style start where he becomes machismo? And obviously, the latter happened. He was machismo. I loved the fight between Bottas and LCH. Very, very exciting. And the two Ferraris behind. It was fun. Great start. The race, there were some boring times, but then there were some good times. The backmarkers passing each other. I thought the Toro Rossos were exciting. And of course, let's not forget Carlos Sainz Jr. becoming the new young El Macho.
Yes, very impressive. Moral of the story of the opening lap was, this is what I noticed, number two's going in the, what was it, Simon and Garfunkel program, slip sliding away with their respective teammates. Bottas, as we mentioned on the front row, he was mugged at the start by his teammate, then given a hip check by Leclerc, which damaged his front wing, and was fourth at the end of lap one. And one corner later, after the opening lap, he was put down in fifth by Seb, and I was feeling very sad for him. At Red Bull, Max grabbed the lead from pole position while teammate Gasly was gasping to hang on to his starting position sixth and was ninth at the end of the opening lap. Lap six, Bottas came in for front wing change, and that was the end of any chance for him to score win number three of the season. Lap 10 of the 70-lap race, Max had a 2-second lead over LCH, and LCH was keeping Max honest, which was good. Leclerc was third, almost 12 seconds behind Max. And at this stage on lap 10, Clark, I felt very bad for the team and for the driver. On 10 laps, I think this was after 9 lap and start of the 10th lap, Kubica was already over 44 seconds behind. And that is very, very sad. After a dozen laps, Gasly was 8th and over 34 seconds behind Max. I say time to call your local manpower office to brush up the CV and switch off the TV. I have a feeling, and tell me if you agree on this, I have a feeling that both Dr. Marco and Mr. Horner will agree with DC when he said that Gasly has the least desirable seat in Formula One, that is being teammate to Max Verstappen. Whether they relaunch the torpedo from Red Bull or elevate Albon to mothership, I think Max will make mincemeat of any teammate unless they put CL or LCH in the second seat at Red Bull, which we all know is not going to happen. Your thoughts on the Gasly situation and the Bottas situation?
Well, Bottas is definitely gone. This is his last season, so if you're a fan, you better say goodbye now. I think Albon is in, the torpedo is out, and there you have it. The only problem is Mercedes will still be dominating next year, and it's going to be the same old, same old.
So do you think Gasly, what will happen to Gasly, and where will he go? Who will replace him?
Gasly will go to the camper truck series.
Yeah, you never know. By lap 25, it was obvious this was a two-horse race, but did not include any of the prancing variety, as Leclerc was over 18 seconds behind race leader, and Max barely out of the DRS range of man in second, LCH. A lap later, Max came in for his one and only pit stop, and Lewis got the radio call for hammer time. The face of the race was beginning to change as Mercedes kept Lewis out lap after lap. Lap 32, LCH came in for new tires, and when he rejoined the track, he was 6 seconds behind, and I thought dishes were done by the Danube for Lewis and Mercedes, but within a few laps, he was all over Max and well within DRS range. He tried every trick in the book, but could not steam ahead of the Red Bull, later yelling at his team that he cannot keep the pressure. Now, let me ask you a question. at this stage before Lewis dived into the pits again. Did you think that Lewis has any chance of winning?
Not sure. That's a good point. But once he pitted with the fresh tires, I knew that Max's dishes were kaput.
Yeah, because when he was running before the second pit stop, I was thinking that this, you know, will still be a good race for him, finishing ahead of Bottas and increasing the, you know, like we said on the other podcast, LCH is losing even when he's winning even when he's losing. So increasing your lead even when you're not winning, it's not a bad thing. But then came the call that slaughtered the bull. Mercedes called Hamilton for new medium tires on lap 48 with 22 to go, the idea being to have fresh rubber and high speed towards the end of the race. But LCH was not sure if that was the right call. As Martin Brundle said on the TV broadcast, Mercedes had nothing to lose by pitting Lewis, and Max was telling his team they should have pitted also. He was advised race lead would have been lost. For a while, it looked like the gamble may not work for Lewis. He was about 20 seconds behind after his second pit stop, and his pace was not hot picante, as he made up only 4 seconds after 7 laps. And at that time, I thought, you know, this will be the result, Max winning, Lewis second. But the heat was on with about a dozen laps to go. And this is where it got really, really exciting. With 10 laps to go, Hamilton was 11 seconds behind, but five laps later, he was on for Verstappen's tail, and his closing speed was so superior that he took the lead on the outside of turn one at the start of lap 67. And that's what all Toto and Susie Wolf wrote. The red cars were never a factor in the race. Seb passing Leclerc to take third from Leclerc late in the race. Now, sir, I have to ask you, it's pretty obvious that Lewis is going to match Michael Schumacher's numbers next year. You have any thoughts on that historic moment coming soon?
No, it's going to come soon because he's in the Mercedes, and it's going to take a while for Honda and Red Bull to catch up. Especially with the rules changing pretty soon. Red Bull is already working on the 2020 car and 2021 car. I know how these things go. So he will surpass Michael Schumacher. Let's not forget that Lewis Hamilton is 35 and Max Verstappen will be 22 next month. So I understand what's going on here. Lewis has got the best car for the next couple of years. He's going to bang out all the records and then he'll leave the happiest machismo man in the world.
Yes. Carlos Sainz Jr. was 5th for McLaren. Gasly was 6th, a lap down on race winner and also his teammate. Kimi was 7th for Alfa Romeo. Bottas was 8th. Lando Norris was 9th. And final point was picked up by Alexander Albon for Toro Rosso. He had a good cockpit-to-cockpit battle with his teammate, the new Pepito in town, Daniel Kvyat. And yes, I looked into it. Kvyat's wife is the daughter of Nelson Piquet Sr. Now we come to Romain Grosjean. He was the only retirement from the race. His teammate K-Mag is getting married next week, and David Croft joked on the race broadcast that if Romain Grosjean is invited to the wedding, he might crash the wedding party, which wouldn't surprise me. Now, you know, I want to get your thoughts, and, you know, I would like to hear some thoughts on this issue from our listeners, if they don't mind sharing their thoughts. In a recent interview, I think it's in the current edition of Motorsports magazine, the British magazine, mostly about historical racing and a fantastic magazine, and I believe in the US is available at Barnes & Noble, or at least used to be. Max is quoted as saying that Lewis is nothing special. Many drivers out there on the grid with similar talent, or words to that effect. Now, young uber-talented man, Mr. Max Verstappen, has the right to his opinion, but victory on Sunday was a nice thank you by Lewis. So, sir, have you been texting Max Verstappen about how lucky Lewis is lately?
Well, the interesting part is Max is absolutely, absolutely correct. He's absolutely, absolutely correct. Because the deal is, if Lewis Hamilton was driving a Renault for the past 5 years, there would be no big hoopla or excitement. Everybody keeps forgetting that it's the combination of the driver and le package. If Max Verstappen had the GP2 engine that Fernando had we would be not talking about Max Verstappen. I hate to blow everybody's bubble away, but folks, when the cream rises to the top, it rises on both sides of the coin, meaning it's the package and a great driver. Don't get me wrong. Lewis is a great driver, but a lot of people think Kvyat's a great driver. I'm not taking anything away from Lewis Hamilton. I'm just saying the luck, the decision of leaving McLaren at the time he left McLaren was brilliant. And the rise of Mercedes after Braun was brilliant. And Lewis is the luckiest man on the face of this earth. Thank you.
Yes, very well said, Mr. Rogers. But, you know, I am not aware of any Formula One driver, including Juan Manuel Fangio and Jim Clark, who took championship glory in a Minardi or a Osella.
Bravo.
Yes. Okay. And any other thing that you liked? Well, you know, I am kind of disappointed that the first 2-3 years of existence of Haas F1, they really had a lot of good things going for them. They were punching way above their weight, getting into nice points. But now, I don't know what their deal is. They are quick in qualifying, but not much in racing. And if they are competitive, they run into each other. What's your take on that situation?
Well, what happened is they bubbled up to the top too quickly. You get the bends. So they need to get into the iron lung and decompress.
I think, you know, who could be a good replacement for Grosjean would be either Nico Hülkenberg or Valtteri Bottas.
Very good. I like that.
Yeah, and both of these drivers are pretty good drivers, and they are also very non-political. Have you noticed that?
They're very non-political. But maybe we should put, you know, maybe we should flip things. You know, when Lewis Hamilton wins, the next race he should drive a Haas.
Yes, I wish that was the case in Formula One. Or they can always do like this. You know, if you win a race, the next race, the grid is reversed. But that's, you know, like you said, your song is coming back to you. When that happens, I'll wake you up. Any other things about the race you want to talk about, sir?
No, not really. I thought it was a great race at the end. And let's see the rapid development during the summer, because now we're going to manly tracks, not girly tracks.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Robbie Gordon. And, you know, that's the talk about, from everyone, all the pundits, of professional pundits of Formula One, that we're going to Spa and Monza, and Ferrari will have a big advantage because they are the fastest car in a straight line. And I won't be surprised if they have another shell shock from the boys in Brackley. And then lo and behold, Bottas is fastest and Lewis is second in qualifying. And then Lewis wins the race. And Clark is going to say, oh, what a lucky dog. Ferrari is the biggest disappointment this year for me.
The biggest, and they're going to disappoint more. The season is not over. Listen, Ferrari is still Ferrari. It's not going to happen. Mercedes is too German for them.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. It's pretty obvious that Sebastian Vettel's days as one of the top talents, first or second, those days are pretty much behind him. Charles Leclerc is pretty much the man of the moment at Scuderia Ferrari.
I concur.
But again, like you said, if they put both of these youths in Mercedes, then once again, Sebastian Vettel will be winning a lot of races. But that won't be happening.
Well, the worst part, it's not going to happen because now Red Bull is caught up with them. Ferrari has some serious problems, and there's going to be some reshuffling. Trust me, there's going to be some deep, deep contemplation during the summer.
But, you know, this thing of Honda catching up is really reflected in really reflects the difference between a very good driver, which Pierre Gasly is, because he won Formula Renault Cup and he won GP2 and he was very competitive in the Super Formula in Japan and had a great fourth place finish in Bahrain last year with Toro Rosso. But when you put him next to a great, I mean, Honda would be nowhere, nor Red Bull without Mr. Max Verstappen. He is. Honda has come a long way. The 6/10 they were missing, Max has delivered that, or maybe more. What do you think?
Oh, I agree completely. I mean, but look at the progress Toro Rosso is making as well. They're making it to Q3. So Honda, you still have to give Honda a lot of credit. And I think on the power side, they're giving Max everything he could possibly get right close to where it might kablamo. But it's good for the sport, and I'm really proud of them.
Yeah, it was going to happen sooner or later. Unfortunately, it just took way too long at McLaren. But this is very good. And, you know, what is very impressive about Honda is, I mean, normally you have awesome reliability or awesome speed. But with them having struggled so much, I'm surprised that they're also very reliable.
Well, everybody's reliable. So I'm not surprised.
Okay, so shall we look at the championship standings?
If you insist.
Yeah, it's not rubbing it in, just reporting the facts, Mr. Rogers. Lewis Hamilton leading, 225 points. Teammate Bottas second, 184. Max third, 162. Absolutely mind-blowing. He's ahead of Ferrari drivers. And there are no slouch drivers at Ferrari. Fourth is Vettel, 141 points. Fifth, Charles Leclerc, 120 points. George Russell is the only driver without any points. In the Constructors' Championship, Mercedes 409, second is Ferrari 261, Red Bull third 217, fourth McLaren 70 points. This is the real kicker. Fifth, Toro Rosso 42 points, and they are ahead of Renault factory team. And that is quite an achievement for the team previously known as Minardi. Another rub-in for the host.
Thank you, Nasser. I needed that.
Okay, sir. Shall we take a Gatorade with Nahrain Karthikeyan break?
That's a good idea. I think I'm going to go take a shot of Jim Beam. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charon region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charon. Opening in June 2012, Bassinon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinon is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinon.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And before the Motorsports Mondial takes off from Budapest, we have a little audio report for which we are very thankful. This comes from our Dutch friend and listener, Mr. Louis Janssen, who told me, several weeks ago that he and his wife, Didi, will be going there. And we had met at the Indy 500 also, and we all had a very great time. So many thanks to him for sending this report. And I hope listeners enjoy this reportage from Hungaroring.
Greetings to all the F1 Weekly listeners here from the Hungaroring. This is Louis Janssen and Miss Didi Korver speaking to you. We are in the car in a traffic jam trying to exit the circuit. And we had big fun with this race. First of all, I like to say that Budapest is a very beautiful and romantic city. We went to visit the city on Friday, and the Hungaroring circuit is actually very good. It has good and nice facilities. Toilets were clean, and they had, of course, goulash and other good foods and drinks around the circuit. And we saw a lot of fans here. It was sold out today, full house. And roughly you could say that we saw a lot of Verstappen fans, Kubica fans, Kimi Raikkonen fans, and Ferrari fans. And of course the race was very tense. We were watching it from a grandstand at the start of the start-finish straight. And we saw the gap between Verstappen and Hamilton being reduced and reduced at the end of the race. And it was inevitable, of course, that Hamilton passed Verstappen. But like I said, although we supported Verstappen, we were happy to see this this great race. And now we're trying to get back to the Netherlands again. So greetings to all F1 Weekly listeners and our good friend Nasser Hamid. And Clark Rogers, of course. And hope to speak to you and see you again. Bye-bye.
Louis, keep up the good work. The check is in the mail. Nas, it's time for MM.
Yes, sir. And we again start with stuff in Budapest, Formula 2. Feature previously known as our favorite Happy Dos. Feature race on Saturday, Canadian Nicholas Latifi took his fourth win of the season. Dutchman Nick De Vries was second. He started from pole. Third man on the podium was Anglo-Korean racer Jack Aitken. Sunday's sprint race saw Mick Schumacher finally getting his first win in the series, so that was very special. He held off a race-long challenge from Japanese driver Nobuharu Matsushita, also known as Mashusta. Brazilian Sergio Sete Camara was third. Nick De Vries leads the championship with 196 points. Latifi is second on 166. You know, Nick De Vries has been, he took 3 years to win Formula Renault Euro Cup, which pretty much took the wind out of his sail to come into Formula One quickly. But now he's doing a tremendous job in GP and Formula Two. But I think this is like third or fourth year. Let's see if Red Bull will give him a chance like they have given a chance to Alexander Albon. Nick used to be in the McLaren driver program. Obviously, there was no vacancy for him, so we'll see how it goes. Now, some sad news from the world of Formula 2. You probably know this guy, Jean-Paul Drieu, founder of Dam's team with René Arnoux, has passed away. Arnoux left the organization many years ago, and Dam's has been very successful in many series, you know. They've been racing in Formula 3000, Formula Renault 3.5, GP3, GP2, Formula 2, and Formula E. And the team was started in 1988. So our condolences to his family and to the team and friends. Now we move on to the one step below F2, F3, previously called GP3. Race winner on Saturday was Danish driver Christian Lundgaard, who also set the fastest lap. Max Futrell was second with English compadre Jake Hughes third. Amerikanski Logan Sargeant from Florida was 10th. Race 2 on Sunday was won by Kiwi Marcus Armstrong. His fellow Ferrari Driver Academy racer from Russia, Robert Schwartzman, did not score any points in this race, but still leads the championship with 124 points. Second is Red Bull Junior Yuri Vips from Estonia on 112. Logan Sargeant was 8th in this race. A few years ago, he became the first American since Lake Speed to win the Karting World Championship, which is an absolutely amazing achievement. Rally Finlandia, Ott Tänak from Estonia was the winner in a Toyota. He leads the championship with 180 points. Second is Citroën driver Sebastian Ogier on 158. MotoGP, win number 6 of the season and number 50 of his career for Marc Marquez. The Honda man held off Ducati rider Andrea Dovizioso to increase his lead in the championship, 210 to 147. Marquez said after the race, and I quote, "To come from the summer break with the same way we finished before the summer break is the best thing. We're at a circuit where we expected Dovi to take some points, and in the end, we increase the advantage, which is the most important." End of quote. Okay, now, sir, we have some goodie bag. And goodie bag from Budapest is called Motorsports Goulash, some Magyar moments. Your new favorite driver, Lewis Hamilton, is the man in Magyar Republic. 7 wins at the Hungaroring. Between this and Montreal track, he has 14 Grand Prix wins, which is more than a lot of very, very famous Grand Prix drivers. Michael Schumacher has the most pole position in Hungary, 7. McLaren is the most successful team here with 11 victories. And first victory was scored in 1988, courtesy of Ayrton Senna. And the last for McLaren was by Hamilton in 2012. Damon Hill in 1993, Alonso in 2003, JB in 2006, and Kovalainen in 2008 all scored their maiden wins at this track. And some other memorable moments from this race, of course, the incredible, unbelievable pass in 1986 over Ayrton Senna by his fellow Brazilian, with whom he had no love lost, Mr. Nelson Piquet. You know, Karun Chandhok said something very interesting during the broadcast of the, I don't know if it was in the race or qualifying. He said he heard from a Williams mechanic, "You've seen how Piquet was slipping and sliding?" He said it happened because he was trying to give Ayrton Senna a signal that you are number one and almost lost control of the car. And in 1989, there was a magical moment when Mansell passed Senna, and Senna said after the race, "The best man won today." And of course, we all already mentioned the JB winning here and the physio and the pit stop from 2007. And another amazing moment was when Michael Schumacher almost put his teammate, who was then driving for Williams, Rubinho, into the wall. I'm sure you remember that.
It was exciting. Everybody loved every minute of that.
Yes, sir. Do you remember what Rubinho said when it happened?
I can't.
He said he should be black flagged for that.
Poor Rubinho.
Yes. Okay, sir. Now, you know, I watch a lot of, once again this past weekend, I was on Friday night, late Friday night, I was watching some qualifying action from Japanese Super GT series. Very exciting. And I came across a video, and we call this segment the numbers game. This is taken from a video on YouTube called Racing Statistics. This is very nicely done, very impressive, and shows how many points each nation would have scored using today's point system, meaning 25 for win, 18 for second, and so on. It includes results from 1950 up to and including this year's German Grand Prix. Not surprisingly, leading the way is Her Majesty's Motorsports Kingdom, Great Britain. Points scored by her subjects would total 21,203. This haul includes points scored by a dentist, Scottish farmer, Lucas engineer, and the rage from Stephen Age. They all became Formula One world champions. Number two, courtesy of basically two drivers, is Germany with 13,332 points, so a huge gap between first and second. Number three is your Shangri-La, Viva la France, with 10,273 points. Pretty impressive, since no French winner since 1996. Brazil is fourth with 9,252 points. Top five is completed by Italy with 8,475 points. The last time we had an Italian Formula One world champion was in 1953 with Alberto Ascari. United States is seventh behind Finland on 4,268 points. The last Grand Prix win for an American driver was at Sanford in 1978 with Mario Andretti. Number 10 is of interest to you. Viva España with 3,260 points. And I wonder who scored most of those points. Perhaps, Mr. Rogers, you can let us know who let the machismo out.
I've no idea. I've already forgotten all about him.
Really?
We know it's over, Ness. Let's just, you know, let's not, you know, talk about it anymore.
No rubbing in with LCH? No rubbing in with Alonso?
Alonso is not in Formula One anymore, Ness.
Okay. So you have moved on from him.
Well, he's the best, but that's the way it is. You know, they didn't want him. So the best sometimes have to left.
Now we come to famous last words. Now in Friday practice, Carlos Sainz Jr. was given a message from the team that all marshals, this is when there was some rain, that all marshals are reporting no rain. And his response to the team was, "The marshals must be having a beer." So at least you can have a good time at the trackside in Hungary also.
Good for the marshals. I'm sure they're underpaid.
Well, marshals are normally volunteers, right?
Correct.
So there you go. So there you have it, Mr. Rogers. Would you mind giving us an update on the NASCAR scene?
I didn't check NASCAR news today. I apologize, but I think they're on their summer break, Nas.
They take a summer break in NASCAR?
Well, you know, now that Max is going to win more races, I might not look at NASCAR anymore. It's a tough job being me.
I know.
You know, Have you read my book yet?
What is it called? Me and Me?
Me and Me.
Yes, sir. It should be called Me and Me in the Mirror.
That's pretty good, huh? Well, you know, I texted Fernando about maybe we do a book together.
That's not a bad idea. The physio can write the forward.
Exactly. So, you know, we're working on it. And I'll have more NASCAR news for you next week as the season now is on summer break.
Do you think Max and Honda, Red Bull Honda, will have more wins this year?
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Marco had predicted last year that they will win 5 races.
Well, there has to be some luck involved. The thing is, we're going into tracks where Mercedes is going to dominate. I mean, I don't care what anybody says about Ferrari and their straight line speed. We saw what Mercedes did last year at Monza, and it was pretty ugly.
Yeah, that just shut them up very badly.
Oh, my God. So, unless Ferrari gets rid of the marinara sauce and comes up with something more exciting. But I do know one thing. I think NASCAR was at Watkins Glen.
Yes.
And I heard there was some pretty excitement.
Oh, there always is when there's a NASCAR event in town.
A lot of words exchanged between Blaney and Johnson. People getting pissed off, pushing and shoving. See, that's the kind of racing I like.
And see, now you're talking.
Thank you very much, Nass. I slipped in a little bit, okay? You feel better?
I'm proud of you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But anyway, so that's it. Prediction for Spa?
Man, you know, Ferrari has to win a race sooner or later. But I hate to agree with you that Lewis Hamilton will win this race, probably.
Probably. And Verstappen will be second or third.
Yeah, but you know what is looking scary? And either, you know, I want to ask you a question. Remember the opening race Bottas won? I believe he won from pole position, right?
Yeah.
And there was all this talk of Bottas 2.0 and how he's going to take the fight. And he went totally gung-ho. And I believe he got he's the first driver in history to get the extra point for the fastest lap, right? So everybody was gung-ho about Bottas 2.0 and he's going to stick it to LCH. Did you buy any of that hype?
I didn't buy any of it. He's number two. He's always number two. And to be honest with you, 2.0, somebody just added 2.0 to number two.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if he's 3.0, I would not consider him a threat to Lewis. Unless he go around 4 or 5, then I'll say, okay, man, Lewis needs to worry now. But I will feel really bad for him because he's a good driver and he's won some championship and he's a very nice kid. I would hate to see Lewis win 12, 13 races. Bottas has two or three wins. That would be very, very bad.
No. You know what would be really bad? If we find out that there's a racehorse by the name of Valtteri Bottas. That would be bad.
Yes, it just might happen now that you have mentioned.
Exactly. So that's what I think is going to happen. Sooner or later, there's going to be a racehorse called Valtteri Bottas, and we'll have to, you know, talk about the two-legged or the three-legged.
Yeah, and you know his performance here, I don't know what, you know, he used to be managed by Toto Wolff, and then when he joined Mercedes, Toto had to, you know, give up on that role. But I have a feeling that they will put Esteban Ocon. And, you know, Esteban Ocon thinks he can beat Max Verstappen because he beat him in European F3. We wish him all the best. But I think he's going to find out when he joins Mercedes as Lewis Hamilton teammate that, you know, no matter how good you are, you can still be a wee bit better. You know what I'm saying, Rogers?
I think I know, but I prefer not to think about that.
Yeah, and I feel the same way anybody stepping into. That's why I'm saying, you know, whoever goes into Red Bull in the next 5-6 years, if Max stays there that long, I mean, they really have. Or whatever Max is racing in the next 5 to 10 years, because his talent and supreme power is going to be, you know, it's not for 2-3 years here. I think it's going to be very, very... It will be basically signing your own death warrant, becoming his teammate. I mean, it's simple as that.
As long as you have a good physio, you'll be okay.
No, the physio cost that man that championship because, you know, he got a 5 or 6 grid penalty. Had he not done that, 2007 world champion would be Fernando Alonso.
Thank you, Nass. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Keep up the good work. I also want to thank Louis Janssen for his report. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So there you have it. The checks are going out tonight. I want to thank everybody who listens to this program. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.